What is mercy? I forgive those who have fallen. I help those who are hurting. I'm patient with difficult people. Mercy is when I'm kind to my enemies. Mercy is love in action. I need to be merciful because God is merciful. The miracle of mercy.
I need to be merciful because God has been merciful to me. Man, that makes sense when we hear it, doesn't it? It fits intellectually. But boy, what a challenge to live that out. Has this campaign been as challenging to you as it has to me? The miracle of mercy. What we find out as we go through this campaign together is that it's not so much the miracle that God was merciful to me. The miracle takes place when I learn to be merciful to others. And that has really stretched us. This morning we're going to take up the next concept or the next idea that goes along with the miracle of mercy. This time we talk about mercy shows kindness to enemies. I have a feeling that this week is going to push me even farther than I've been pushed so far. Mercy shows kindness to enemies. Our readings each day are going to help us develop that idea. And then when you get in your small group, whenever y'all meet, you're going to develop that idea even deeper. That mercy shows kindness to enemies. Late one summer evening in Broken Bow, Nebraska, a weary truck driver pulled his rig in an all-night truck stop. The waitress had just served him when three tough-looking, leather-jacketed motorcyclists came in, decided to give him a hard time. Not only did they verbally abuse him, but one of them reached over and grabbed his hamburger and started eating it. The other one reached over and grabbed some French fries. The third picked up his Dr. Pepper, started drinking it. Now that's wrong. How would you respond? Now, this trucker did not respond as one might expect. Instead, he just calmly got up, picked up his check, walked to the front of the room, put the check and the money on the cash register, and went out the door. The waitress followed him to put the money in the till and stood watching out the door as the big truck drove away into the night. When she returned, one of the bikers said, "Well, he's not such a man, is he?" She replied, "I don't know about that, but he sure ain't much of a truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles on his way out the parking lot." Now, come on, let's be honest. Isn't that the kind of thing that most of us would do in response? When people do us wrong, most of us just kind of find a way to teach them a lesson or two. Maybe it's not running over their motorcycle. Maybe it's just making sure everybody in town knows what a jerk they are. Maybe it's just giving them a cold shoulder down the hallway at church. But most of us find a way to kind of retaliate, to send a message, to get even, to at least let people know what happened. The hard thing for us this morning is that Jesus calls us to a higher level of living than that. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, I want to invite your attention to Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. You know, when I was a teenager, I remember that a story came out that was really popular. It was circulated. Now, this was the days before email. I know it's hard to believe I was a teenager before email. Well, this was the days before email. There was no Facebook. And so to circulate to circulate stories or ideas. We just printed them off, and everybody's handing out these what we'd call today hard copies. But this story really made the rounds for a long time. It was a story about warm fuzzies and cold pricklies. Does anybody remember? It's a story about warm fuzzies and cold pricklies. And the idea was that in this make-believe community, everyone carried a bag with them, and they'd come across one another, and once in a while, when you'd come across someone who was nice, that person would give you a warm fuzzy. You'd put that warm fuzzy in your bag and carry it with you. It didn't make you feel good. But every once in a while, you'd come across somebody who would give you a cold prickly. And nobody likes the cold pricklies. It makes them feel bad. You know, I was thinking about that old story as I thought through the teachings of Jesus. Most of the time, we go to Scripture in order to find a warm fuzzy. We say, God, make me feel better. God, give me something that will encourage me. Honor the fact that I'm reading for you and reward me for being a good little boy and reading your book. We want a warm fuzzy. But every once in a while, as we read through the Scripture, all of a sudden there's a cold prickly that says, wake up, son. Every once in a while, that cold prickly says, you're not there yet. Don't get the big head. I think that's exactly what happens in this text. Jesus is saying to his disciples, and by the way, he has just called them. I mean, just verses before, he has called his disciples. And I think what he's saying is, now before you get into this, I want you to know that Christianity is not a life full of warm fuzzies. There are some expectations, some challenges. I want you to become like me, and that's going to be tough for you at times. And so he says right off the bat, right after he calls them, he says these words, beginning in Luke 6 at 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. We learn to show mercy to others because God has shown so much mercy to us. I thought about, as I read through that text, that talks about how we respond to those who do wrong to us, how we respond to our enemies. I thought through our responses when folks attack. I thought through my own responses as well. And I kind of realized there is a progression. As we grow spiritually, we respond differently. And I guess at the beginning, at first, I think what most of us want is revenge. Somebody does something to me, then I want revenge. And by revenge, I mean I want to cause harm to that person in order to punish them. But then hopefully as we grow a little bit and mature a little bit, we kind of move past that desire for revenge. But now we kind of settle into, retaliation. I'm over revenge, but retaliation still sounds like a good deal to me. You hit me, I'm going to hit you. This even starts when we're really young. How many of you ever heard a child say, well, he hit me first? Problem is, some of us never outgrow, he hit me first. But hopefully we grow through retaliation. Hopefully we mature a little bit more and we move on to justice. Now, at justice we say, so-and-so has done wrong. And so the right thing, the just thing, is that that person get what they deserve. It's not that I'm being mean to them. It's not I'm retaliating or I'm seeking revenge. It's just justice. I want to make sure that they get what's coming to them because they deserve it. It's the right thing. And so we start telling ourselves we're reacting or retaliating or responding out of justice. It's what's right. But then hopefully we can grow even beyond that and mature even further to the point that we learn to respond in love. Now someone has hurt me, someone has done the wrong thing to me, and I hope that we can move to the point that now we respond in love. Because the Bible says that at one time I was God's enemy. Did you know that? That's hard to hear. The Bible says at one time, if before I gave my life to Jesus, I was God's enemy. And yet, even though I was his enemy, he loved me in spite of me. Before I could understand it, no way I deserved it, could not love him back, he loved me anyway. Now, I'm not his enemy. Now, I'm his son. I'm his child. And as his child, I want to grow up to be like my daddy. I want to learn to love before someone earns it, before they deserve it, even when they're my enemy. But you know what? I think there's even another level to maturing in this response. There's another level that I hope to grow to. And that is not only love, but mercy. Because in love, I can kind of let myself off the hook to a degree, and I can say that I love everyone. I've learned to love everyone. So even if you're my enemy, I love you because I can lump you into the category of everyone. So I love you. That covers it. But where it really challenges us is if we can move beyond general Christian love and move into mercy. Because mercy drives me not to just love you, but to actually be kind to my enemy. Mercy drives me to do good to those who do wrong to me. And folks, if we get to that place, that's a miracle. The miracle of mercy. Jesus helps us here, challenges us, and he breaks it down to show us how to do it. And we're going to look at verses 27 and 28. And as we do, you're going to see this kind of progression that I'm talking about. Look at the first part of verse 27. He says, I say to you who hear, love your enemies. And that's the first thing that he calls us to in this text. Love your enemies. You know, when I first started out in the ministry, I was going to break the mold. I understood growing up that, you know, everybody's not going to like you. You just can't live in a way that everybody likes you. Well, I understood that. And even at seminary, they even talked about that a time or two, that not everybody in your church is going to like you. And I thought, okay, that's fine for you old guys, you know. You professors, I understand. But you don't know just how good I'm going to be. Everybody going to love me. everybody going to love me. I'm going to be different than every other pastor who ever walked on the face of the earth, and everybody going to love me. And I went into the ministry thinking I was going to keep everybody happy. And it was just, I was going to teach those old dudes how it's done. And that lasted for about 2 weeks before the first business meeting. And real quick, I learned, man, this is just life. Everybody's not going to like you. Some of that is my fault. I make mistakes all the time. I'll say the wrong thing. I'll do the wrong thing. People get offended. They get their feelings hurt. Some of that's my fault. Some of it's not my fault. Some of it's just the way they are. Some of it's just awkward social interactions that happen from time to time. But the truth is, there are folks who don't like me. And believe it or not, don't let me shock you, but there are folks who don't like you too. Maybe you're like I was, though. I don't have any enemies. Well, if you don't have any enemies today, hang on, you will. Everybody has people who don't like them. So what do we do with those folks? The rabbis at this time when Jesus taught this, the rabbis were teaching everybody, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. In their mind, they were saying, be real. Keep it real. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. What Jesus said was revolutionary. We've heard it all our lives, so it doesn't shock us the way it shocked them. But he said, love your enemies. Jesus has a way of turning our human nature upside down when he tells us to love, because our human nature says, you don't like me, I don't like you. You're my enemy, I hate you. And Jesus says, let's twist that around and do it differently. Watchman Nee was a Christian leader in China. He told a story about a Chinese Christian man who owned a rice paddy. The guy who owned the rice paddy next to his was a communist, not a Christian. And what would happen every day, the Christian would go out and he would pump the water from a canal that was close by into his rice paddy. Now, what separated his rice paddy from the rice paddy next to his was some wooden boards. And what happened every day, the Christian guy would get the water from the canal into his rice paddy. A little bit later, the communist guy next door would come out, and he'd move those wooden boards so all the water would run out of the Christian's rice paddy into his own. Every day he did this. And the Christian finally got so frustrated, he didn't know what to do. He was so angry at his neighbor. And so he prayed. And he said, Lord, if this keeps up, I'm going to lose all of my rice, maybe even my field. What can I do? Watchman Nee says that the Lord responded by putting this thought in his mind. So the next morning, the Christian man got up early and started pumping water into his neighbor's paddy first. Then he replaced the boards and pumped water into his own rice paddy. The result is both rice paddies became productive, and the communist man was moved by his neighbor's love. The two men became friends, and eventually the communist became a follower of Jesus Christ. It was just a way to figure out, how can I love my enemy? He's doing wrong. That doesn't mean I have to do wrong back. I can find a way to love my enemy. Well, Jesus didn't just say, love your enemies. He said in verse 27, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Now, see how he's moved us to this next level? It's all progressive here. It's one thing to love your enemy, I get that, but now you're going to tell me I have to do good to those who hate me? Man, I like doing good to people who like me because they say thank you. You know? It's fun to do good things with your friends. They appreciate it. It makes you closer. But my goodness, to do good things to those who hate me, that's a challenge. And it reminds me that it's all about control. I can't control what my enemy says about me. I can't control what my enemy says to me. I can't control what my enemy does to me. I can control how I respond. And a key to making life work is to understand the difference between what you cannot control and what you can. When you figure out the things I cannot control, I won't worry about. The things I can control, I take responsibility for. Life winds up working a whole lot more smoothly. I can't control them if they're going to be ugly to me. They're going to say bad things to me or about me. I can't change that. I can control how I respond. This lady owned two prized chickens. They were pretty chickens, if chickens can be pretty. She loved her chickens. But one day her chickens got out of the little place where she kept them. They went to the next door neighbor's place and got into his garden. Oh, the next door neighbor didn't like the fact that the chickens got in his garden. Ticked him off, so he went out there and he picked up the chickens, wrung their necks, and threw them back over the fence. Lady came out, she saw her dead chickens laying there on the ground. She realized what had happened. She had to decide what she was going to do about that, so she picked up the birds, she cleaned them, and she prepared two chicken pot pies. She delivered one of those freshly baked pies to the man who had killed her hens. When she handed him the chicken pot pie, she apologized to him for not being more careful about keeping her chickens in her own yard. The man was absolutely speechless. Chicken pot pie and apology filled him with shame, and he apologized for overreacting. You can't control what your neighbor does or says. You can't control those who hate you. You can control your response. Do good to those who hate you. It's an act of mercy. The third thing he says to us challenges us, maybe even on a deeper level. 28, he says, bless those who curse you. And here, the blessing and the cursing are basically talking about our words. Those people who say bad things to you, about you, maybe even to your face, they say that they want bad things for you. That's a curse. I wish you were dead. I hope they get you. A curse is saying those things to hurt, to harm, using words in a way that causes pain. And Jesus says when someone uses words in a way to cause pain for you, you turn around and bless them. Use your words in a way that brings comfort and healing. It's kind of back to the warm, fuzzy, cold, prickly thing. Somebody who doesn't like you hands you a cold, prickly with their words. You respond with a warm, fuzzy. Bless those who curse you. Proverbs 15 and 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Have you noticed that? Now notice before we go too far into this, notice it says a gentle answer turns away wrath. If you're going to answer, that means someone else has initiated. Right? This is not saying go up and start being nice to strangers, go up and start being nice to people. This is an answer. Someone has already initiated an interaction. And your response in this interaction, the answer, a gentle answer, turns away wrath. What's amazing is if I can respond in a gentle way, it dials down the anger. It reduces the conflict. Unfortunately, most of the time, we respond in ways that escalate the problem. Somebody says something to me, my pride won't let me let them get by with that. Somebody says something, they're going to get it back. And what happens? Their only option then is to defend themselves and respond again. My only option is to defend myself and respond again. And it just escalates. And so the wisest man in the world said, hey, chill. A gentle answer turns away wrath. It's the harsh words that stir up the anger. So get rid of the harsh words. Bless those who curse you. Instead of saying what you want to say, choose words that are encouraging and uplifting. Again in Proverbs, this time 12 at 18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Man, do you want to be the one who pierces people with your words? Or do you want to be the one who brings healing? The one who is wise? Bless those who curse you. And then he takes us one more step into this challenge, perhaps even more difficult than the others. The last part of verse 28, he already said, bless those who curse you. Now he says, pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for them. It's one thing to tell me to love them. I got that. It's something else to tell me that I have to do good to them. And then he tells me that I have to say nice things to them. That's face to face with them. Okay. I can do that if I have to. But now in the privacy of my own heart, when it's just me and God and nobody around, now I still have to care enough about them to pray for them. He says, pray for those who mistreat you. And by the way, when he says to pray for them, he's not saying pray that a truck hits them. Pray that some scary, rare disease. He means really pray for them. And there's method behind this. There's a reason for this. He says, pray for them. Ask God to bless them. Think of that one person that you absolutely cannot stand. Some of you just come up with a whole list. I said one. Who is the one person that you absolutely cannot stand? Before you go to bed tonight, I want you to pray that God blesses them today in a special way. You know why we do that? One, out of obedience, Jesus told us to. But two, we do that because it is impossible to continue to hate someone that you're genuinely praying for. Genuinely pray, God, give them a good day. God, protect their health. God, bless their family. God, bless their job. Help them to succeed. And you're going to wake up. You do that every once in a while. You do that on a regular basis. You're going to wake up a month from now, and you're going to say, oh, yeah, I forgot I hate her. Love your enemies. That's mercy. Do good to those who hate you. That's mercy. Bless those who curse you, because that's mercy. Pray for those who mistreat you. There's mercy. We do all of those things together because of Romans 12:18. if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Some of it's out of your hands. You can't control what you can't control, but you do control. You accept responsibility for those things you do have control over. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. How can you take on such a big task? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Father God, we want to thank you for our time together today. We thank you for the opportunity to grow, to be stretched, to be encouraged. Lord, we thank you for this challenge that every once in a while the words in Scripture take us to a new level, and sometimes that's not fun. But we're grateful for it. We don't want to stay the same as we were when we first became Christians. We want to grow. We want to be more like Jesus. Thank you for helping us do that with the challenges. We pray that you'd give us courage now and wisdom to accept this challenge, to love our enemies, to respond to them appropriately, to actually care enough to pray for them. Help us, Lord, to do that so that we can become like our loving Heavenly Father who did all of those things for us. We pray, Father, that as we consider what it means to be like Christ, what it means to be a child of God, we pray that you would help us to hear you speak, to do anything we need to do this morning to be right with you. We pray it in Jesus' name.